Hello, people. Welcome to Slick Talk Show. I'm your host, Rich. And today we have a guest from Virginia. We have Chris here today. How you doing, Chris, man? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. You know, people, I have to tell you something because Chris is always here. You know, I've been talking to Chris for the past few weeks now about NFL. And he's always happy to come back, you know, on Slick Talk Show and talk about NFL or, you know, what we call back here in the UK, American football. We all know tomorrow. Okay, Chris, tomorrow is a big game. Tomorrow is a Super Bowl. This is crazy. I mean, I need to ask you the first question. Did you expect, let's be honest here, did you expect to see Tampa Bay going to the Super Bowl this season?
Initially, no. I figured they were going to be a wild card team. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs, probably maybe until they made the playoffs. And what's weird, really, after their bye week, you kind of like, okay, well, they can have a run. Then, you know, as far as the playoff run going against Washington, then New Orleans, and then Green Bay, you're like, this starting to kind of be a little bit of fate. But in the beginning of the season, especially after the first game against New Orleans, but you figure, you know, this team had to kind of gel and everything, but still in the same token, preseason wise, I definitely think this team was going to make the Super Bowl. I figured they were going to make the playoffs, so they would kind of be one of the last teams in, which in theory they were the fifth seed, but they were kind of, you know, they were a wild card team. So,
yeah. And yeah. You know what? The funny thing about that, it's very interesting because if you see Tom Brady, that was his first season, you know, with Tampa Bay. You know, there was no off season, there was no training, there was no OTA. So he basically had to learn how to play with that team, you know, and obviously coming from the media and everybody out there, it seems to be some sort of miscommunication between him and the coach. You know, at which point on the season you thought, okay, now those guys are ready to go all the way? At which point did you feel like, okay, this is a team here, we need to be careful about this Tampa Bay?
What's funny, It's funny how now it feels like such a parallel. The turning point was the Kansas City game in week 12. And it was funny because all that turmoil, because you got to think about it. I think that was, matter of fact, I think that was like Thanksgiving week. And I remember that was when the Bruce Arians situation, and he was talking about how everything looked good in practice, this, that, and third, and kind of was critiquing Tom Brady. And I was like, all that drama happened right around that time. And then you get the bye week, which we, you know, I always talk about, it's weird as, you know, when you're a fan, you look at it from a different perspective. You're like, you want to always know how your bye week's kind of like in mid of the season. But in theory, that week 13 bye helped them because they were going through the adversity at that particular time. And it kind of gave them a week to kind of be like, hey, let's hunker down. We only have, you know, five more weeks left or four more weeks or what have you. Let's just hunker down and just make a final push.
You know what? Tom Brady, I mean, most of the chat about Tom Brady, we all know that it's always about, you know, what he's done back at New England, you know, for the 20 years he spent over there, all right? And obviously, most of the chat before that was Belichick's system. Is it fair to say now, seeing Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl, that he was the system at New England Patriots?
I think it was a little bit of a combination of both. Because when you really sit down and you think about it, it's really kind of – it's almost like the perfect combination. Because you look at this Tampa Bay team, last year they were 7-9. They, you know, with a Jameis Winston playing at the quarterback position. And so you look at it, yeah, some of the system, but then it's part of it is player as well. It's kind of hard to tell now with Bill Belichick, even though – that team went 7-9, and considering the fact that eight of their guys held out on the defense, which that was their calling card. That was because there was a point, you know, this time, well, not this time last year, but last season, they were like shutting people out defensively, and half of their defense were, you know, essentially, you know, as far as they opted out for the season. Then you brought in a guy like Cam Newton, but a part of it, I think it's really system as well, but I think more so the player as well. I think Tom Brady, in a weird way, he's just like a machine, where it's almost like he went to Tampa Bay for a reason. He went to kind of prove it, like you know, like we're talking about it, saying to shut us up to say, well, he's not a system of, he's not a a quote unquote a piece in Bill Belichick's system. Yeah. I can do this on my own. I can do it with a coach who's a risk it no biscuit, a guy who wants to throw it downfield, and I can do my little dink and dunk and do what I gotta do. So if I can go to Tampa and go against I have a head coach with a polar opposite philosophy than what I've had in the last 20 years. It's me, bro. Okay. It's me.
I must definitely prove that. Now, let's just talk about the game against the Packers that they had. Tom Brady had the best. One of his best. The first half was unbelievable. Now, we remember the second half. That was 3 interceptions there. And that's a worry. It seems like every time Tom Brady plays, he seems to have 2 half games. One good one and one bad one. Now, do you think going to the Super Bowl tomorrow, there's a chance he might give the ball back to Pat Mahomes tomorrow? Do you see that happening?
And it's weird. I think so. And that's the thing about it where you look at, especially like a guy, it's weird because people been talking about Tampa Bay's defense as far as being quote unquote like the advantage between versus Kansas City's defense. But we still got to remember they got a guy, Tyrann Mathieu, aka the Honey Badger, who makes plays like this and can be opportunistic in this type of predicament where if he's on the field, he's going to make a play. He's bound to have a fumble recovery, an interception, a batted pass. He's going to disrupt that, as far as on the end. But I definitely can see some interceptions for Tom Brady. Yeah, that's one of the things where it's like you said, like in the Green Bay game where he played lights out in that first half. And essentially those 3 interceptions really opened the door back for Green Bay. And I guess one of the things when you look at it where Green Bay was conservative in their play call on that fourth down, and you got a league MVP, and you don't do nothing. You kind of sequester that opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to kind of get you out of that rut.
Yeah. Now let's just move on a little bit to Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, we've seen exactly what they've done for the whole season. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl the season before. Looking at the Chiefs this season, it looked like they were pretty much bored. You knew that they could, in one snap, they can turn everything around and score at ease, whatever they want to do. Now, I was talking to friends of mine, I made some comments and I was like, look, a lot of people out there are trying to tell me how Tampa Bay can try to stop this Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'm asking you, Chris, right now, please try to lie to me. Try to tell me some nonsense. Try to tell me exactly how you believe that Tampa Bay can stop that type of offense. And we're talking about Kansas City Chiefs, man. Please give me 1 or 2 scenarios how you believe that they can stop that offense going forward tomorrow.
And you know what's funny? Because we talked about it. I talk about this often. The key to beat Tampa Bay, to beat Kansas City, pressure onto Mahomes. We look at blitzing the mess out of him like what Oakland, Las Vegas did, I think, at the beginning of the season. We thought that's the key, that's the recipe, right? Buffalo had the same strategy. Buffalo, to their credit, did a great job defensively of dropping in coverage and getting to Mahomes, but guess what happens? Mahomes escapes all that, and it's just – and that's the thing. The thing with Kansas City, and the weird thing about it all is they commit so many cardinal sins, but they still win football games. Normally when you think of other teams, you're like, okay, don't turn the ball over. Certain things, certain cardinal sins you don't do in football, but they do it. The thing about – it sounds elementary, but the execution of it is difficult. The thing is, what's weird is their weakness is kind of like somewhat in the red zone and kind of converting in the red zone. You don't want to be in a vertical match with them. I know that's hard. It's an elementary concept to, hey, take away the vertical game for Kansas City.
Yeah. You know what, Chris, if I can add a little bit there. I'm looking at that team right there. You know, I mean, I'm looking Tampa Bay. Do you think, you know, just using the ball and running the ball most of the time, just run the ball, maybe run play action, definitely just make sure you keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. I mean, just do as much as you can just to keep him off the field. And one thing Tampa Bay need to do, no mistake, no penalty. You need to have 110% game clean completely just to beat that team. And I'm looking at Tampa Bay right there with Tom Brady. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how they can come out and win this game defensively, offensively. I just can't see that. Now, the next question I'd like to ask you, that's definitely about Pat Mahomes, man. I mean, the boy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when you have that type of record in NFL, you need to be the MVP. But for some reason, I think they're giving the MVP to Aaron Rodgers. So that's another story. You know, we need to talk about that next time. When you're looking at that ball right there, and you're looking at a boy like that, you know what I mean? I mean, you guys, you know about your NFL, you know, for so many years. Have you seen somebody like that before in NFL, before Pat Mahomes, man?
Not of this nature and not for the success of it. You know, there's other guys he kind of mimic a little bit. Like, I see a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in him a little bit. But he just – the thing with Patrick Mahomes is the success, getting the success this early, where essentially he gets drafted in 2017. He sits out for a year. Well, essentially he played, like, week 17 his rookie year, but that's here nor there. His first year starting, 52 touchdowns, and becomes a league MVP. Loses in the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady. Comes back the next year. Still had a great year, but he didn't have an MVP type of year last season.
That's right, yeah.
And won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's only started 3 years. Mm. He's been to the AFC Championship game every single year he's been in this league.
So,
and it's a gift and a curse where, I think I talked about this in the midseason where we're going to get like Patrick Mahomes fatigue where it's almost like it's going to be a standard. Like, we did the midseason war. So that's when I think at that time, I think he had like, I forgot, he only had like one or two interceptions. And we all were like, oh, Russell Wilson. But then we're like, hold on now. Patrick Mahomes is having a great year. But that's like you said, he's such an overachiever already that everything else is almost like if he puts up another 52 touchdown season again, it's almost like, okay we've seen this before.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the bar is set so high for him, which it's a gift and a curse.
You know what? It's funny because most people talk about, the Kansas City a little bit like the Golden State Warrior, obviously, for NFL because of all the weapons, Tyreek Hill, Trevor Kelce, obviously you've got Andy Reid, making those plays. I mean, it's unbelievable. When you see that team play, I mean, they play with smile. I mean, remember, think about that. They've got those helmets, but when they play, you can see fun there. You can see how happy they look and all that. Now, one thing I need to ask you, it's really about American. You know, you guys love your NFL. You like your Super Bowl. This game tomorrow, what is it like for American tomorrow? I mean, are you guys are taking that like one of the biggest Super Bowl, or is it just like, okay, that's just another Super Bowl game tomorrow? How for you guys, the media, the American, all together over there, the media, what are you guys talking about, about that Super Bowl tomorrow between Pat Mahomes against Tom Brady?
I think the consensus is we're looking at a all-time great Super Bowl where we have literally the two best quarterbacks that have ever played in the Super Bowl together in a matchup. We look at this as almost like a creme de la creme type of matchup where – this is an historic one where you get a guy like a Tom Brady who can win his seventh seventh Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
He will win more Super Bowls than any NFL franchise history. We look at the Patriots have won six. the Steelers have won 6, the Cowboys have won 5, and I can go on to say third, but Tom Brady could potentially have 7. Patrick Mahomes, only 25 years old. He could be a 2-time Super Bowl champion by the time he's 26 years old. That has never, ever happened.
Man, I didn't know about that record, actually. I didn't actually know about this one. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, man.
But mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, and when you're looking those two, obviously you're looking at Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady. You know, when you're looking at, like, as you, as an American, you're looking at Tom Brady. I think, as far as I'm concerned right now, Tom Brady is more or less like a GOAT. You know, he's the greatest of all time when we're talking about NFL player. But you look at Pat Mahomes, you know, the young guy is coming on the block now and being the face of the NFL. When you're looking around the country, where does the country is lying about? Who do they want? Who? I mean, as for you, who do you want? I'm not asking you to pick. I'm just saying when you hear what people talk about, who do they want to win? They want Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady for tomorrow?
And you know what's weird? Because it seems like it's half and half, where you have people who they look at, and it's weird because we all know in a weird way, like we look at Kansas City and it's like they're the team to beat. So you look at that, you look at that couple with, you got Tampa Bay with that, the dynamic of Tom Brady, where we've seen him in the past kind of, you know, get revenge on previous losses and stuff like that. Especially when you look at this year where he got swept by New Orleans in the first, in the regular season, and then, you know, then beats them in a divisional round. Mm-hmm. He has some weird way of avenging his losses in a strange, bizarre way. And the thing is, you look at the whole situation with Tampa Bay and just the simple fact of Tom Brady being 43 years old, like you said, you know, but this is his first year at this team, no offseason workouts, no nothing. He really just came from New England and just got thrust into this position, you know, well, on his own volition, but his own, you know, his own way, but from what I've been hearing, a lot of teams, it's a lot of been leaning towards Kansas City.
Okay.
I guess
it's because you've got that beauty of Pat Mahomes making those beautiful play, you know, making no look throw, and you know, you've got Tyreek Hill doing the back pedaling, right. You know what I mean, on the touchdown play. So I think it's beautiful to see, and I can see why, you know, the whole country is going towards Kansas City Chiefs. But now I'm gonna put you on the spot there. Yeah. What's your pick for tomorrow, man?
Exactly. Well, I got Tampa Bay winning 41-34.
What?
I know, I've been doing this all week because sometimes I feel like I'm kind of not a hypocrite, but more so of just
Are you just trying to be somebody different from everybody else? Is that where you want to go, or you believe based on the track record that they had for this season, you believe they have a chance to win the game?
I definitely have a feeling. I think what it ultimately boils down to. This is going to be a close game. I think they're going to be like runs. I think the key for Tampa Bay in this game, they're going to have to almost have a Green Bay type of situation where they're up big. And to me, because I'm looking at the situation, again, and a lot of it is kind of premised on what happened last year against San Francisco, where we looked at eerily similar because the biggest question mark was San Francisco's front four versus Patrick Mahomes in his in the offensive line, and obviously that personnel is way more better in my personal opinion than Tampa. But Tampa's still good. That's still a great personnel of JPP, Vita Vey, and those guys.
Okay.
The thing is, if it's gonna be like that game, Tom Brady's gonna know what to do. Because I think Tampa Bay is gonna have a substantial lead, and then Kansas City comes back. But I think Tampa Bay will know how to close it out. And I think they're going to be one. I think this could be a matchup where literally the team who has the last possession is going to win this game.
Okay.
Whoever get the ball last could potentially, and obviously with my prediction, would indicate that as well. But I'm telling you, the thing is, because in tight spots, I know Tom Brady can execute. When there's like third and longs, third and what have you, that's going to help. And then, like you talked about earlier, about how, you know, Leonard Fournette, those guys kind of opened the run game to help to – I mean, they began the pass game, not the pass game, but the run game to open up the passing game.
Yeah.
That's going to be critical in this game.
Yeah,
I think whoever gets – whoever run the game gets going first is going to never have an edge in this matchup. Mm.
It's very interesting that you – yeah, that's very – actually very interesting takes there that you're giving. But I'm looking at Kansas City Chiefs, you know, what they've done last season, you know, after trailing 21-0, 24-0 and winning games. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at teams, they look more dangerous even when they're trailing than leading. And I'm thinking, how can you beat a team like that? I mean, they're down 21, 24, they can still come back and win the game. But you know what? I like that take. And, right after the game tomorrow, definitely, you know, I'll be texting you, just to check out, you know, what's happening there. Okay. Now, I need to move on. You know, we finished talking about Super Bowl. I think we've got enough time here. So I want to ask you a little bit more question there.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen Tom Brady moving about, right? We've seen him leaving, you know, New England, going to Tampa Bay. And, you know, one season he's having a great time. And what's happening right now in the NFL market, you know, you're seeing all those quarterbacks, you know, either getting trade or asking a request to be traded. You know, one example, obviously, Deshaun Watson, obviously, for the Texas team, and he wants to move away. Now, my issue about that, and I don't have a particular issue, you know what I mean, like, because he signed a contract. I'm one of those people believe that when you sign a contract, you need to abide to that contract. Now, I'm not inside that building because something must have happened for Deshaun Watson asking for the, you know, to leave, you know, about the whole situation. Tell me a little bit. What do you think about the whole situation for Deshaun Watson?
With Deshaun Watson, it's understandable. I mean, when you sit down and you think about it, and that's the thing about this team. This team, when we look at the AFC, they should be a top three team in this. And when we talk about the hierarchy in the AFC, we talk about Kansas City, we talk about, you know, now Buffalo, and we talk about, you know, Baltimore and you know, other teams, and they need to be in that conversation. And the thing is, they keep on regressing. And the thing is, you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, you trade to get a guy in Laremy Tunsil, and from Miami, now Miami has the third overall pick. You don't even have a first-round pick. Like, and he has an offensive line that gets him sacked like crazy. Like, and he's a 25-year-old quarterback. Like, he's literally on the beginning of his prime. And this is going to be a situation where he's going to be wasting his time.
But my question, Chris, my question is, he's leaving, he's trying to get traded to the Jets. You know, I mean, we're looking at the Jets. They have one of the worst record in NFL for this season.
Yeah.
We all know, yes, you know, but, you know, him going over there, that's a big move. But at the same time, you know, he's not going to the Super Bowl with the Jets, right? Yeah. So he's not going to a winning situation. I understand that if you want to leave, you know, going to the next situation, more or less like Tom Brady, because you know that they've got weapon. That they've got trade asset that they can make. They can make some move to make the whole team better, to take you all the way to the Super Bowl. But all I'm saying is, for Deshaun Watson requesting a trade, obviously, going to the Jets, which is one of the worst team, I just don't understand that. That's a big confusion for me. You know what I mean? That's it.
And the thing, and it's kind of a two-part thing. And another really main reason is because it's the fact that he was supposed to be involved in the hiring of the new head coach, which he was not, which I feel as though, especially when you're giving that kind of money, he needs to have that type of input, because at the end of the day, that's just like everything. You have an investment. That's just like you buy a home. Mm. You want to make sure your home is good and everything is straight. He's your biggest investment. You want to make sure that he has personnel say in personnel decisions, especially when it comes to head coaching. Mm. But the Jets, The thing about it is he liked that new head coach in Robert Saleh. If he likes that, he likes that team. That team is kind of burgeoning. I think they are better than Houston. The Jets have some pieces. They have some solid pieces. Their offensive line is starting to kind of come into fray. You got a guy like a Mekhi Becton at that left tackle spot, who I think is going to be a gold jacket, even though, you know, Howland Springs alum.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's going to be, you know, you have him in the fold, then you also have other guys like Jamison Crowder also. So they got pieces in place. But and if I'm the Texans, I would do it in a heartbeat, because now you'll be able to get those draft picks, that draft capital, because the Jets have so many draft picks they can offer to you, because essentially they can flip that Jamal Adams trade from, you know, that they trade, you know, Seattle, all those draft picks, they can give it to him, give it to the Texans, and they can rebuild. And at you know, the second overall pick, they can get their franchise quarterback. They can get the guy from BYU. Or they can get Justin Fields, whoever they want, in number two.
But one of the questions I have, obviously, you know, obviously, one of the issues that Deshaun Watson obviously had at Houston, Texas, was the fact that his O-line was pretty old. But I'm looking at O-line, obviously, from Jets' side. They need a lot of new guys down there, too. Yeah. So let's just say they make that trade. You know, they take Deshaun Watson and use all those trade and take them, you know, obviously move everything back to Texas. They won't have anything left, basically, to build that O-line back again just to protect Deshaun Watson. All I'm trying to tell you right here, right now, is he'll be back to square one again. He'll be back to square one, but just different city. That's just the way I see that. But I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, but the thing about it is the whole situation – it's just bad in Houston. It's just a bad situation for him. The Jets will be an improvement for them, because to me, we still got to remember this team was 2 years ago was 7-9, and I don't know what happened this year. I think it's just the whole. And then you got a new head coach and Robert Saleh. He'll definitely help. And then also he brought in Matt LaFleur's brother. So if I had to choose between the Jets and the Houston, I would the Jets in the heartbeat. They're a version up and coming team, and I think he could literally. I'm not saying they're going to compete in the AFC East with Buffalo and Miami.
Yeah.
They could creep up into that when we talk about as far as the hierarchy in that division. They might can spike up to two. I don't think they could be the Bills as it currently constructed, or maybe even the Dolphins. But they'd be competitive in that division.
Okay. Anyway, now we're coming close to the end of the show. But I need to ask you this, man. You know, tomorrow is the Super Bowl. It's definitely a massive event in the US over there. Here in the UK, usually around 1-2 o'clock, so it's too late for us here. I mean, it's only people like me and people who love NFL that have to stay up and watch that. Now, you need to tell me, what is it like, you know, before the Super Bowl, you know, over there? Like, do you stay with family? You know, do you cook food? You know, what is the pre-game type of things, you know, between family over there in the US, man? Before
so for me. And I've had various traditions, so I'll tell you about my so to me it's a holiday. It's to a point where it's literally a holiday.
Right.
It's a point to even now, you know, the last 2 years I've taken a Monday off at the Super Bowl you want to have like that kind of like that day off. So it's a convenient excuse to have, you know, to have, you know, an authorized day off now. Let's not get it all twisted. It's authorized.
So you guys don't have a holiday after the Super Bowl, because let's just say, but I guess everybody want to watch the Super Bowl over there in the US. Then, you know, you can't have everybody asking for day off. You know, so I guess you don't have a day off. It's not like a holiday after the Super Bowl, no, because it's on Sunday. So a Monday is a business day. It's back to normal.
Over there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And the good thing about with me, I was like one of the only guys in my department. So it's like everybody's oblivious. Like, what is February the 8th? Like, that's Super Bowl Monday. Like, so that helps as well. But So the Super Bowl is big for me. So what I've done, and this is crazy, for the last 9 years, they have like official like Super Bowl cups and stuff like that. So I've collected Super Bowl cups. Matter of fact, I got one right here. This is from 2 years ago, the Rams and the Patriots.
All right. Oh, that's nice.
So we have these type of cups, and actually, I got the ones for this year. I just haven't cleaned them, but I drink those tomorrow. Use those for tomorrow. All right. So I've been collecting them since 2012.
Oh, nice.
And then what I do, and I used to do stuff like have people over and whatever, but the Super Bowl, I'm gonna be by myself.
Okay.
So what I do is they do also have like Super Bowl plates, like the disposable plates.
Okay.
So I've had them for the last couple of years,
yeah.
And I, you know, grab a pizza and some wings and then drink out of my Super Bowl cup, and eat out of my Super Bowl plates and just have a good time. It's like matter of fact, I might put it on my IG story.
Oh yeah.
So I definitely probably put that on there as well. And it's just like it's a nice thing. Like it's a culmination of a season, especially this year, and it's even more special because we didn't think we were going to have a season. And yeah, I remember we talked about that in the summer and I remember when they canceled the preseason, that's when we were. It was almost felt like it was a doom day.
Mm.
We found that out because it's almost like you're getting rid of that already. Like what's next?
Mm.
But yeah.
But I think talking about that, you got to give a kudo, man, to the NFL board, to make things happen because they didn't care, man. I mean, the pandemic, virus, whatever you call that, COVID, they just went ahead and did what they had to do. And now tomorrow we have the Super Bowl. So really, it was unbelievable. I mean, this season was unbelievable. For me, watching NFL this season again, especially with no fun, but still, I was focused. I was still watching, man. That was pretty good. Okay, man. I think we're coming to the end of the show. It's always a pleasure to have you, Chris. And hopefully, you pick Tampa Bay to win tomorrow. Hopefully they win tomorrow. And we'll be back again. So I can be back again maybe next week and talk about your result. Okay, people. That's all for us today, on the Stick Talk Show. Stay tuned. Watch the Super Bowl tomorrow. Buy your wings, your potato chips, whatever you need tomorrow. Yeah. Buy some drinks and have a good time. Good night, guys. And I speak to you tomorrow.